I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to reference this and then move off of it, but come back to it at the end. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or after this manner. When his mother Mary was espoused or betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for allowing us time together this morning. Thank you for the privilege we have of commemorating the birth of your son. But we know that it doesn't just, the message of the Bible doesn't just stop with the nativity. It continues on. As we'll see, it continues on with something very important, a message, a hope, a promise that is very important. And I pray that you would help each one of us grasp the significance of this. We commit to you this time this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, there are a lot of people throughout the world that have ideas or beliefs that there are codes or secret messages or prophecies hidden throughout the pages of Scripture. Religious movements and trends have begun based on the idea that there are secret codes and mysterious facts recorded in Scripture. And it took advanced technology to come along and give us an understanding of these things. The truth is, though, it's far less sensationalistic. There's no conspiracy. There's no agenda that's written and hidden in the pages of Scripture. The pages of Scripture reveal something very important and very clear. From Genesis chapter 3 on, the message is clear, and it becomes more clear as Scripture has been revealed. What happened in Genesis 3 was this. Mankind created a serious problem: sin. When Eve took of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and she gave it to her husband, and he did eat, that was the first act of open rebellion on this planet. And it's degenerated to where we are today. We still have the same problem. That problem is sin. And it can't be dismissed without consequences. God, from Genesis 3, God showed Adam and Eve there are serious consequences to the reality of sin. Remember those animals that gave their lives to clothe Adam and Eve? They didn't just zip the skins off and hand them to Adam and Eve and say, here you go. God sacrificed those animals. From that point on, the central message of the Bible has been one thing. We have a serious problem: sin. But there's also the solution to that problem. God has provided a way where man can be reconciled to himself. And we have this word that we use frequently that I think we often overlook. And it's the word salvation. You know, that term salvation was so obvious to those who should have been obvious to those who studied the Old Testament. The Old Testament is permeated by this word salvation. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul tells Timothy that from a child he has known the Holy Scriptures. What Holy Scriptures? The Old Testament. And what was the purpose of the Old Testament? To make thee wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus. The idea of salvation is so crystal clear in the Old Testament. You know, it's interesting. Do you realize the word salvation is used over 100 times from Genesis through the book of Habakkuk? We're going to walk through all of those. No, we're not going to do that. I just want to read some of these to you. By the way, it's the Hebrew word Yeshua or Joshua. And it's interesting how it's used with the little pronoun my and thy. In Psalm 9, verse 14, it says, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. That's Jerusalem. I will rejoice in thy salvation. Psalm 21, verse 1, a great messianic psalm. He says, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? It's a psalm we go to so often for comfort, but there's so much more than just comfort there. Psalm 51, verse 12, I love this one because this is David's great psalm of repentance and confession of his sin. After he had sinned with Bathsheba, he says to the Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. May I ask you something this morning? Do you find joy in your salvation? Do you rejoice in the fact that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have great joy? Psalm 118, verse 14, the Lord is my strength and my song and is become my salvation. Verse 25, save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now thy prosperity. Psalm 119, verse 41, let thy mercies or loving kindness come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Isaiah 12, verses 2 and 3. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. It's interesting, in those two verses, the word salvation occurs three times. Isaiah 61. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of of salvation. And then in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 13, it says, thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head of the house of the wicked, by discovering the foundation unto the neck. Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, passage we should all be familiar with. We talked about it at camp a couple of months ago. But I will sacrifice unto thee the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. In all of these verses, salvation, the uses of salvation are intricately tied in with the message of Scripture. What is the Bible about? How to be saved. And how to walk and how to live the Christian life. I mean, I'm fascinated by the book of Hosea. Do you know the story of the book of Hosea? Hosea is told to go and marry a harlot. And that was a picture of God's relationship with Israel in that day. Someone said a long time ago, a friend of mine told me this years ago, he said, if you really want to understand the Bible, you have to familiarize yourself with the culture in which the Bible was written. And two things about the Bible, about the culture of that day, will really help you understand the Bible. Weddings, Jewish weddings, and Jewish funerals. And if you can understand those two things, you can understand a whole lot more of what, because the Bible uses weddings and funerals repeatedly to picture relationships that God has with his people. So it's talking about salvation. What's the point? Look at verse 21 of Matthew 1 again. And I want to replace a word that Matthew uses. He says in verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Salvation. For he shall save his people from their sins. Salvation is one teaching of the Old Testament that should not have been missed, but it is. It is by our world today. But salvation is also the message of the New Testament that the world misses too. It wasn't just a cute little babe in the manger that was so significant. Folks, he was the Savior of mankind. He saved us from our sins to reconcile us to God through his death. Someone said this week, Matt was telling me this week, a very prominent evangelical leader said that, you know, the incarnation, the virgin birth, really isn't that big a deal. It's not all that important. Because one of the reasons he gave was only two of the four Gospels mentioned the birth of Christ. I don't know about you, but my wife told me I'm getting a bald spot on my head. I think it's from pulling out my hair when I hear things like that. I really do. You know why only two of the four Gospels mention it? Because of the reason the Gospels were written. Each one of the Gospels were written for a specific reason, for a specific audience. You know why Matthew wrote the genealogy that he wrote, and he wrote about the birth of Christ the way he wrote? Because he was writing to Jewish people. And he was establishing the credentials of the Messiah. We sang a song this morning. Born is the King of Israel. He was born the King of Israel. And that's what Matthew is establishing. Matthew is telling us Jesus is the King of Kings. He is King Messiah. That's why he includes the genealogy. That's why he includes this birth narrative. And the fulfillment of that prophecy in verse 23, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Where is that found? Isaiah 7:14. He's called the Savior, presented as the King to the Jews. Luke presents the other gospel, the other gospel, Luke presents the other birth narrative. Why does Luke include it? Because he's presenting Christ as the perfect man, as savior of imperfect men. And that's why his genealogy goes all the way back, not stopping with Abraham, but all the way back to Adam. Well, why didn't Mark and Luke or John, why didn't they write? Mark was writing to Romans, to Gentiles, and he was writing to present Christ as a servant. It's nobody cares about the genealogy of a servant. They care about action, and that's what Mark is doing in his gospel, is presenting Christ in action. If you'll notice the words immediately or suddenly in the gospel of Matthew or Mark. And John writes to present the deity of Christ. So is there a lineage to the deity? Absolutely not. That's foolish. These things can be explained, and I really am burdened about our young people in this church. They know why the gospels are the way they are, and I'm burdened about all of us that we understand when we hear things like that. Well, there's only two gospels that include this. It's not important. It's vitally important. It is a fundamental doctrine of the Christian faith, and if a person denies the virgin birth, they are denying Christianity. He came to save us from our sins. Salvation is one teaching in Scripture that cannot be missed. It's obvious at every turn. It's in every part of Scripture. It's in plain sight. And if you miss it, you do so deliberately, and you're doing so without excuse. I mean, Jesus said, "The Scriptures testify of me." May I ask you this morning, have you seen it in your own life, for your own life? You know, why do we celebrate Christmas? Why do we celebrate it? Because the one who came is the one who saves us from sin's power, from sin's penalty. And we pray, I mean, seriously, we pray at this church that it will be soon from the very presence of sin. This world is getting worse and worse and worse by the minute. If you've never done so, will you trust Christ to be your Savior? That's why He came. He came to save you. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It's not just repeating the name of Jesus. That's not what that's talking about. That's talking about putting your trust in Christ, who he is, and what he's done for us. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, I cannot think of a better day to do it than December 25th, 2016. I can't think of a better time to do it than right now. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to walk an aisle. You don't have to pray a prayer necessarily, but just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Many years ago, I've never forgotten this testimony. I was preaching one Sunday, and there was a little boy on the back pew sitting there with his family. His name was Caleb. He's not our Caleb. It was another Caleb. Little boy sitting there, and I was preaching, and he was listening to what I said, And while I was preaching, he simply bowed his head and asked Jesus to be his Savior. Have you ever done that? Have you asked Christ to be your Savior? Have you acknowledged your sin and received him to be the Savior? The only Savior that you will ever need, that you can ever have. If not, will you do it today? Will you receive Christ as your Savior? That's why he came. That's what the angel told Joseph. He shall save his people from their sin. And I love that. He doesn't say he might save. It says he shall save his people. See that? He shall save. If you've not done it, will you do it? If you have, rejoice. Rejoice in your salvation. Father, thank you for our time together this morning, and thank you for the reminder that we have that Jesus Christ came into this world to save us from our sins, to save us from Satan's power, to deliver us from the wrath to come, to show us the way of living an eternal life beginning in the here and now and continuing on for all eternity. What a blessing that is. What a privilege that is. Lord, help us today to rejoice as believers, to truly rejoice in the salvation that Jesus secured when he died on the cross for our sins. And the fact that you accepted that payment for sins and that you raised him from the dead, showing that the work was, he said the work was finished, and you demonstrated it by the resurrection. And you declared him to be your son, our only Savior. Lord, we live in a world that doesn't understand this or doesn't want to understand this. Help us to be the testimony that this world so desperately needs in these days. Help us, help me to be a better light shining in a dark place, a brighter light. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for those who've come, and what a blessing it is to be together this Christmas Day, 2016. In Jesus' name and through his mighty blood we pray. Amen.